When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
And joins us right now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. A guy who Dan can say, oh, I'm so pumped up because Vinny Pascantino's back for the Royals. And Zach humors him. He's Zach Meisel. Hello, Zach.
Hey, Zach.
4-1-1 on the Milwaukee Brewers and their impending playoff run.
How are you, man?
I'm doing well. I'm struggling to find a better month on the calendar for sports. I mean, this is as good as it gets, right?
Kind of is. You know, you go baseball, playoffs, you go football, getting warmed up, basketball, just getting started. Heck, let's even carry over the President's Cup, shall we?
Sure. I think there are 4 days in March that are like the peak. Because it's those early days of March Madness, I don't know, that's hard to beat. But I think in terms of the overall sports calendar, I think we're in the good times. They're here.
Okay, so riddle me this one. If it was unlikely that the Guardians were able to win their division and have the second best record in the American League, let's just say that was unlikely. Does that make it more likely that they could make a run and win the World Series because they were already able to achieve something that was stunningly good? Or do you think that they get exposed in the postseason because maybe they don't have the type of team that can win the whole thing?
I think I have to cop out and just say that this is always unpredictable year after year. Okay. 2016, they did not have a team that could win a World Series, not without Carlos Carrasco and Danny Salazar and one tenth of Trevor Bauer, and Michael Brantley was sidelined, and yet they made a run. 2017, they won 22 games in a row. They were torrid down the stretch. They were up 2-0 on the Yankees. That roster was maybe outside of 1995, the most complete roster we've seen in Cleveland in my lifetime for sure. And then they collapsed. So it's you never know. All you can do is position yourself the best you can. And you know, I think, sure, it's weird when you have a week off at this point in the year, and maybe there's a rust element that can factor in, but it's better than if you had to play in an hour and you had a best of three series determining whether your season ended or not. So, like, they've done everything they could possibly do to this point, and I do think that certain, you know, that formula that they're going to lean on, which is bullpen heavy, that can work in October. We've seen it in Cleveland. So with off days, with a rested bullpen, you know, there are some elements here where I guess to totally answer your question, they could get knocked out in the first round. They could win the World Series. I don't think there are any scenarios here that should be off the table.
What do you like in today's sim game? Feeling good about that?
This
is so boring. I'm just like so antsy for them to play, right? And I'll sit there. Today's going to be great because there's four games today. But I'm just really antsy to see this team come back and play right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's always weird because you clinch, you know, with like a week left in the season and there's nothing to play for. So even those games against the Reds and the Astros kind of felt like going through the motions, like let's get the show on the road. And now you have a week of just fake baseball. So it's, right. I'm with you. And it's weird because they'll play Saturday and they haven't needed the juices flowing in 2 weeks by the time first pitch rolls around. And then whoever they're playing has been fighting for their lives for the last week, or if you're the Tigers, for the last couple months. So certainly different paths to getting to the division series. And we'll see if that has any effect.
Zach Meisel joining us, covers the Guardians for The Athletic. The lineup, as things went through September and we go here to playoff time, looks pretty locked in, does it not? maybe platoon at DH and maybe platoon in right field. And other than that, are those positions locked in?
Yeah, you know, the biggest development over the final maybe month, 6 weeks, were Lane Thomas hitting like Lane Thomas, the guy that they wanted to trade for, and not the guy we saw for the first month in Cleveland, and Kyle Manzardo, who came back up and showed some pop and looked much more comfortable, and to the point where he's now hitting second against right-handed pitching. So those two guys functioning how you wanted them to function make the lineup so much more formidable, take some pressure off of Jose Ramirez and Stephen Kwan and Josh Naylor. Now, they still need those guys to hit, but you know, you used to be praying that like Bo Naylor would run into one or Will Brennan would start a rally, and now there's actually guys higher in the order who are capable, and I think that is critical because I don't think they're, you know, we're not expecting this team to hit its way to the World Series, but you have to do enough, and you can't have, you know, a bottom half of the order that's just completely inept. So getting Kwan back healthy, getting Thomas and Manzardo going, at least gives you maybe like a top six that you're comfortable with.
What does the rotation look like? I'm asking everybody this. I'm just curious what you think the three-man rotation looks like, and I don't even want to get into a five-man rotation or a four-man rotation in the playoffs, but what's a three-man rotation look like going into the first playoff series?
Even that's hard, right?
Yeah, but you know what? In some ways, it's kind of fun. Like, in the past, because I don't feel like there's a guy that's like, give this guy the ball, that other team doesn't have a chance. I mean, maybe that isn't fun, now that I think about it.
Yeah, I think it's almost, you almost want to think of it in reverse. Like, how quickly can they get to the bullpen? Well, today, whoever it is just needs to go three innings, and we'll start with Cade Smith in the fourth. It'll be Tanner Bibee, it'll be Matthew Boyd, and then I think they want it to be Alex Cobb, but if it is, it's going to be Alex Cobb, who hasn't pitched in a major league game since September 1st. And I think it's a little unnerving there. He's got to throw another simulated game later this week to set him up to start game three. The one good thing about the schedule in the first round is you have game one off day, game two off day. So I know we were talking about putting a lot on the bullpen, but you can do it because they get all the rest they could ever need. So you can have a quick hook. If Matthew Boyd just doesn't have it, if you start Cobb in game three and it's not working, you have a completely rested bullpen. So I think they can play around with things. Their messaging has been that they're going to take it one day at a time during the series and maybe make adjustments on the fly. Gavin Williams will probably factor into this in some fashion, whether it's, you know, if they advance to the ALCS, I could see him getting a start. If he's pitching bulk innings out of the pen, they haven't ruled out a bullpen game. So, yeah, I mean, like kind of like you said, Andy, like this could go a number of directions, and I don't think they want to fully commit to anything yet.
Zach Meisel joining us from The Athletic, and the Guardians getting ready to play the winner of the Detroit-Houston series coming up when they get going. Who do you want? Do the Guardians match up with one team better than the other?
It's tough because the Tigers know them so well. The Tigers have been the hottest team in baseball for 2 months, and the Tigers played them really tough this year and played them before they started this 2 month terror. So, you know, it's like the Tarek Skubal is Detroit's ace and he's going to pitch today and he's going to win the Cy Young award, maybe unanimously. And you'd have to face him twice in a 5-game series. So I think that's difficult. Then you look at Houston's roster. We know what they do every October, and that's daunting too. Detroit is probably the opponent you'd prefer because their lineup is weaker, but I don't think, like, it doesn't matter who you're, like, Kansas City, Baltimore, whoever it would have been, there's no cakewalk here. The American League is full of good but flawed teams, the Guardians being one of them. There are six teams. I would be surprised if Detroit or Kansas City made the World Series, but like, I don't think the talent gap is that huge between the best team in the American League and the worst.
Can ignorance be bliss as a manager going into the playoffs? Like, he doesn't, and I'm not saying he's ignorant. What I'm saying is that there's no experience, there's no background in managing in a playoff game for Stephen Vogt. I, in some ways, I think that could be to an advantage, as long as he doesn't overthink it. You know what I'm saying?
He's got a good support system. I think that helps. He's right. Got guys who have, you know, Carl Willis has seen plenty of playoff games. You know, they've sort of managed like they've had to win games in the way that they're gonna have to win games in October. You know what I mean? Like, they've had to piece together nine innings with the bullpen. They've had to pinch hit strategically, and you know, they don't blow teams out. So it's not like it's going to be some huge shock when you get to the playoffs and it's like, oh man, we got to completely rewire how we do things here. No, they've been operating like that for a while. I think it helps. You know, the team was here 2 years ago. They got a taste of it. I think they thought they'd be back here last year and it didn't happen. And I almost think that has benefited them this year, learning from last year's failures, learning that you can't just snap your fingers and return to the playoffs. So I think, you know, you'd certainly rather have experience than not, but you get it quickly. Like, that first pitch happens and you're chewing your fingernails and you're stressing over decisions you're going to have to make 2 hours from now. And you're going over various matchups in your head and things. So it's, I think you just pick up on it pretty quickly. And again, like, he was a player, and even as a player, he saw things through a coaching lens, and his Braves team won the World Series 3 years ago. You know, he was in critical playoff games with Oakland, and you know, he was on good teams in Milwaukee and kind of helping out Craig Counsell and Pat Murphy with the Brewers. Shout out to M. Menegan. So I think, you know, I think he's well experienced, and, you know, for any rookie manager, like, there's going to be a bit of a learning curve just once you get into it. But I think he can lean on everything he's been through and lean on the people he's got beside him, and I think he'll be fine.
Looking forward to your coverage of the playoffs. Thank you, Zach.
Should be a fun ride. Who knows? Maybe it'll be 1 week. Maybe it'll be four. Never know.
Kind of like that idea. Thanks, should buddy.
Thanks, Zach.
Talk to you guys. Take care.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Zach Meisel covers the Guardians for The Athletic, joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
The only reason I'm not excited about it is, you know, you had that rain out, and I don't know, it was kind of a choppy ending to the regular season, but that didn't matter. They were in, and they secured that number two seed a little bit early on so they could take a deep breath, and you could kind of, you know, do what you need to do to make sure your team is in the right state of mind to go into the playoffs. But now you can get a little dull when you're a week off on baseball when you're used to playing every day. Antsy, man, antsy. That's the number one thing I would say. These guys are used to getting up in the morning, trying to figure out when early BP is.
Get
go
up
to BP, keep going. Hit the weight room.
All I know is that, boy, I'm sure glad they played 162 games, like most every day from late March through, you know, the end of September.
Mm-hmm.
So that they could eliminate nine teams from each league out of the playoffs.
Well, how's your lawn looking? Because there can't be anybody standing on that thing.
You played 162 games.
Dan had to figure
you don't need six of the 15 teams in each league going to the playoffs.
Why not?
Why? You played 162.
Why
you know who the best teams are.
You know, but how about
the best teams are the Guardians and the Yankees. They're the Dodgers and the Phillies. Play it out and go to the World Series.
Are they the best teams right now?
Yes.
Are they? I don't know. Maybe,
yes, they played
the
162
Tigers,
or 61.
Maybe the Tigers are the best team in baseball right now in the American League.
Maybe, but Andy, you play 162 to figure out who the best team is over the course of a very, very long season. If all you're going to do is who's the hottest team in September, then just pick up the season in September.
Well, hot means best, though, too, doesn't it? Hottest means you're the best team in September, right?
Not necessarily.
I don't know.
That to me defeats the purpose of the regular season.
See, if you love the game of baseball and you're a fan of your team, now instead of four cities being excited about the playoffs, or maybe having a team that has no chance of making the playoffs when the season starts, now we have what? We have eight cities today that are 100% engaged in baseball. There's no football tonight, so they can be engaged in baseball.
That's great.
And your fan base is what's important. People want to watch baseball. Guys want to play baseball. So let's go play some playoff baseball with some high-intensity stakes on the line, and then we're going to cut it, and we'll cut it again, and then we'll cut it one more time, and then we'll have a World Series. I'm okay with it. Okay. Jeff, I hated it when we were kids, and I would sit here and I would watch whoever would win the American League East, and then we'd be near the bottom. The only hope we ever had of making the playoffs is when Sports Illustrated said, "Hey, look at all these other teams in the American League East. They've all made it every year in a row, except for Cleveland. So now it's time for them to do it, and they can have an Indian uprising, and we'll put Joe Carter and Corey Snyder on the cover." That was as close to the playoffs as I ever had as a kid. Stupid magazine cover. Come on,
well, our team
man.
Needed to be better. Sorry.
We traded everybody away. We got Tom Buskey.
Buskey was okay.
He wasn't Craig Nettles.
Well, no.
He wasn't Chris Chambliss.
Wasn't Mike Kekich, Fritz Peterson, or Steve Klein.
Well, that's true.
I just think, obviously, you play 162, you know who the best teams are. I hate to see teams get knocked out in a tournament and not be rewarded for their fine work in the regular season.
Show me so let's have a President's Cup. Give him a trophy for winning the American League. And then go play a playoff.
Well, the big thing is winning the World Series. And I think you eliminate the chances of the really good teams doing that by making them jump through more hoops.
But if they're the best, the hoop shouldn't matter. Show me a sport that just says, okay, we're done at the end of the regular season.
Well, it's a different beast.
Professional soccer league outside of the MLS and the NWSL.
There you go.
And now you know why no one in this country likes soccer. No, I'm just kidding. I like soccer. I wish we had an MLS team.
I wish we had one, too. That'd be fun.
But we don't also have relegation in any of these leagues, do we? What, in the perfect world, we run things like soccer? Is that what we're saying now? They should run it like soccer?
I just think the two best teams should be in it. But that's neither here nor there.
I mean, we all could use a little Ted Lasso. I get it. I understand.
That show lost its steam for me. I didn't even finish watching it.
You didn't get anywhere into Ted Lasso?
No, I watched a good portion of it, and then I just thought, eh. And I stopped watching it. I didn't watch all of the episodes. I did enjoy it, but I just thought, eh.
Believe.
Ran out of steam.
Believe.
I do believe, and that's why I think the Guardians have a chance against those vaunted New York Yankees if they get there.
I do, too.
I think they're hard-pressed to get there. I think if they play Houston, they might lose. I think they'll beat Detroit.
Yeah, in the old format, they wouldn't have even got to go.
No, in the old format, they'd be playing the Yankees for a trip to the World Series.
Not with the East and West. No, they'd be playing, I don't know who was the best team in the West this year. I don't even know. In the old format, I don't even
top
know.
Top two teams. There you go. Would have been our two teams. Regardless, I think that they have a fine chance to win a five-game series against Detroit, and I think they could beat Houston. I don't know that they will. We'll see, whatever it comes down to. Regardless, it's been a great season. I would hate to see it lose in the first end in the first round of the playoffs.
How about ESPN and ABC? The first game's on ABC today, huh? Wow. A little after-school baseball for the kids.
Just like in the old days, Andy.
Yeah, man, that's great. Kids get home from school. They can watch Detroit and Houston.
Little Phelps kid would run home, get off the bus, and go watch the Cards and the Red Sox in the World Series.
Don't tell me Little Phelps he wasn't trying to carry a transistor into class for those day games and try to sneak a little earbud in to try to listen to the
kids. I was too young. I didn't know about that.
About transistors?
High school, different story.
I remember wanting to listen to games during the day when I was a kid, having sneaking a little radio into camp.
What's the key to this team getting, let's just say, to the even to the ALCS. Is it offense? Is it starting pitching? Is it the bullpen doing what it did? I think more than anything, Andy, I think it's the offense.
Okay.
I think they really have to score runs here in the postseason.
Jeff, you say a lot of things, and I disagree with a lot of them, but I 1,000% agree with you on this.
Do you?
Yeah, I think the pitching will be what the pitching is, and the pitching will give them a chance in every single game. Every game, this pitching is going to – if they end up giving up like 4 or 5 runs early in any of these games and they've got to chase from behind, first, I just don't see it. I don't see them giving up a big 5-run inning in the first, second, or third, right? So it does come back to exactly what you're saying, Jeff. It's the offense and how inconsistent it's been all season long. You know you can rely on a couple guys.
That's the key word too, Andy.
Inconsistent.
It's gone south big time. And then it comes back. It just can't go south right now.
No. Not at all.
Dana, what do you think is the key? Is it the offense? Is it the starting pitching? Is it the bullpen?
It's what got you here. It's the bullpen. I mean, that's going to be the story of these playoffs. Ever since it expanded, it has really gone from being all about, well, you know, the rotation and all that kind of stuff. Well, now your starter in a playoff game, if you get 4 innings out of a starter in a playoff game, you're over the moon. Like, this stuff has evolved so much into just the bullpen games, and the guard's bullpen has been nails all season. And it just has to continue being that way, and then you'll find a way to squeak by.
Okay. You think they'll be able to squeak out some runs, and the bullpen will make it hold up?
Yeah, I think okay. The way that you've seen Stephen Kwan hit since, I mean, what, we've got 2 games since coming off the back injury. Hopefully this is the Stephen Kwan that we saw most of his career. I won't say in the first half of the season because I think he was way over his head in the first half of the season.
But boy, he sure was awesome.
It was outstanding. It was so much fun. Jose Ramirez is good as
he still ended the season at, what, 292?
Heck yeah, man.
I mean, so.
Even though he fell off the face of the earth in the second half and was injured.
Amazing if you think about it.
Yeah, as poor as he hit after the All-Star break in his injury.
20 points higher than
that he was still there was pretty stunning.
I mean, the big question they'll run into is between center field, shortstop, and catcher.
What do you mean?
2 of those guys need to hit.
Oh.
You can't go into playoff games with automatic outs at the bottom of your lineup. That's what gets you in trouble.
I would think that you're comfortable with Lane Thomas, though, in center field, aren't you? Offensively now, after his really good September?
Center field, shortstop, and catcher. 2 of those 3 have to hit.
I just said, aren't you comfortable with Lane Thomas in center field after his September?
I will not change my answer.
Well, it's a different question than what your answer is.
I will not change my answer. My answer answers your question.
Andy's...
I'm confused.
I am asking you something different than what you stated.
Do I trust Lane Thomas after his September? More? But it still counts that he has to be one of those... you can count him
as
one of them.
That was my question. Thank you very much.
More, but
nice
yeah.
Nice of you to play along. It's only a radio show.
He is... There is no curtain on the show anymore.
You know no, that, not right? only totally is there a curtain, but like, I don't know if it's went off the other side of the bed compared to usual. I don't know if it was the cornflakes this morning. I don't know what has it done this, but
I don't need
somebody
breakfast anymore,
has
really.
Cattle prodded Jeff, and I do enjoy it.
Well, I asked you something different than what you stated.
I thought my answer explained the question.
You said something, you know, about defense up the middle, obviously, but you're looking for offense out of 2 of those spots as well.
Right.
I asked you specifically about the offense of one of those people, and I thought, okay, Dan will say yes, he does trust Lane Thomas more, so that means either Rocchio or Bo Naylor has to hit. But no, you just thought you'd say something different to be a contrarian, which is okay.
Yeah, can I digress for a second? Have you guys tried the Kelce mix yet? I know you were talking about...
Well, what the hell is that all about?
Well,
You don't mix...
It's 3 different cereals. Yeah.
I mean, why don't we just put it all into a blender, throw in some water or milk, and pour it down our throats?
It is the Kelce mix, though. So it's Lucky Charms, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and Reese's Puffs. Are we
put
done with
it? Put it in a blender, throw in some milk, and drink it.
A younger Dan would 100% be all in on that.
I think it's
a younger Dan.
It's not even the
current Dan who like looks at a chocolate chip cookie and immediately gains 6 pounds. Not looking at it.
I do like Reese's Puffs though. They really? They hurt the top of your mouth after a while.
Because they're too crunchy?
Yeah, but I still enjoy them. I'll be honest, I could eat all three of those. Oh, Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
It's like the Captain Crunch where it like cuts up the top. Yeah, yes, get those shards in there. Yeah.
Oh, I was such a big Crunch Berries fan. Loved Crunch Berries when I was a kid. Now I'm just a cup of coffee with a little bit of cream in the morning.
Really?
I hate being old. Why do I have to adult?
You're not old, Andy.
I don't want to adult anymore. Can I give up my adulting?
Being an adult is severely overrated.
It is way overrated. Yeah. Just way.
Any kids who are playing hooky and listening to us, just wait. Being an adult, severely overrated.
As the great John Cougar Mellencamp said, hold on to 16 as long as you can.
Once you get past Oreos for breakfast, you realize that this is all a joke.
Well, kids, let me just lay this out to you, and I'm just going to ask. Either one of your kids hit you up for money today?
Yes.
Any of my kids hit me up for money today?
Yes.
There you go, kids. That's what you have to look forward to. It's Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.